Mercy Vineyard. And why don't we go ahead and put our vision statement up. This is what we're all about. Let's say it together. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. Yeah, that's what we're all about as a church. We're growing, we're loving Jesus, we're loving each other, we're growing in Jesus, and we're going, we're serving. And so that would be awesome. Wendy, do you have some of that stuff that you had back? Yeah, go get some. That would be awesome. So today we are continuing a four-part series, and it's called Crap Happens. Yeah. And we're talking about the crap that happens. And last week we talked about suffering and suffering happening and why does suffering happen. And we're kind of talking about, we're exploring God's role when the less than fabulous things happen in our lives. And I know, you know, as a church, many people here have gone through some less than fabulous things. I mean, just a tick below fabulous. Just a little bit less than fabulous in their lives over the last year or two. And you know, we all go through crap. And so we talked about suffering last week. And today I want to talk about unanswered prayer. And I think this is something that many of us struggle with. You know, I mean, how many times have we begged God, right? I mean, we just begged God for something, and it didn't happen. God, save my marriage. God, heal me. God, make my baby fall asleep so I can get a good night's sleep. I tell you, if you've never begged God for anything, have a colicky baby. You will beg. You will beg for 1 hour of sleep uninterrupted. You know, if you've never begged God for anything, have a colicky baby. And so I want to talk about that. A few months ago, I was talking about last week, I had a friend who had open heart surgery. And he went in because he had a childhood issue that he just never had taken care of. And the doctors had told him, hey, you should get this taken care of. You should have this heart surgery. My own commentary about our healthcare system aside. This is a guy who he pastored for years. He was a church planter. He pastored for years. He wrote several books on prayer, and he traveled the world talking about prayer. I learned a lot about prayer because of his ministry. This was a really great guy. And he had, and I'm not exaggerating when I say he probably had hundreds of people praying for him before he went in for his surgery. And when he didn't come out of his surgery, when they kept him in a coma, and they discovered that he had an infection because of the surgery. People were just, 24/7 people were praying for this guy. And so there was lots and lots of prayers going up for him day and night. He was an amazing person. And after 4 days of just ups and downs, he died. And, you know, that raised a lot of questions. Like, why didn't God answer all of these people's prayers? I mean, it wasn't just him, and it wasn't just sort of like, it wasn't like a dinner prayer. One person just kind of said a little thing, oh, God, just, you know, help Ron. I mean, it was people tarrying and crying out to God day and night for this guy, and he died. He died. He went in for his surgery, and he just never came out. And it was a surgery that he probably could have lived without. You know, so it was very sort of, not only was it just, you know, unanswered prayers, but it was senseless and lots of unanswered questions. And why didn't God answer those prayers? And maybe you've kind of said these things to God before where you said, God, where are you? You know, God, where are you? I am really hurting here. And why aren't you answering my prayers? And, you know, I don't know about you guys. I'll just be real here. I've even played the dad card. God, I wouldn't let this happen to one of my children. Right? Hey, God, if you're a good father And you said if, you know, if one of your children asked for some bread, you wouldn't give him a snake or a stone, right? When Jesus said, so God, you know, why won't you do this for me? I wouldn't let my own child go through this. Yet you're not answering my prayers, right? So I'm just being real. Where are you, God? I'm really hurting here. You know, God, why won't you heal me? I'm a good person. I take care of myself. It's not like I did this to myself, right? And let's just be real. Sometimes we see people go through stuff. And we're like, well, you kind of did that to yourself after 30 years of smoking. Well, you kind of did that to yourself after chasing everybody away, right? And we all kind of have been there. But I'm talking about this, the situations where it's like, I didn't do this to myself. You know, this isn't some sort of natural consequence to my own behavior or habits. God, this is just happening and it's unfair and I'm praying and where are you? Right? And Karen's going to talk about unfairness next week. She's probably just going to rip the roof off of this place. And, but God, why won't you hear me? Are you even listening? And, you know, almost like, God, I feel like you don't even care. I feel like you don't even care about my health. I feel like you don't even care about my marriage. I feel like you don't even care about my children. I feel like you don't even care about my finances. And I think that there are few worse feelings in the entire world than feeling like God has abandoned you. Right? I mean, even Jesus, hanging on the cross, you know, looks up and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And, you know, it's a tough place to be in. It's a hard place to be in. And no matter what you believe about prayer or the way that God answers prayer, sometimes the outcome that we pray for just doesn't happen, right? Sometimes crap just happens. And the outcome that we pray for doesn't happen. And sometimes even the opposite happens, right? Ever been there before? We prayed and he got sicker. You know? And you know, if you came today, I just want to make a promise. If you came today and you're looking for a solid answer on why prayers get answered or not, you're not going to get one. That's my promise to you today. There just are no easy answers. There are no easy answers. And honestly, if you kind of, sometimes when, if we come to this realization, honestly, in life that there are no real, because why do we get frustrated? We get frustrated because we don't get the easy answer that we're looking for, right? We get frustrated because there is, you know, we want the biggest questions in life summed up in a meme, don't we? We want the biggest, you know, most incredible questions and problems and issues with life, we want them summed up in an easy soundbite. And you know what? That's just not the real world. That's not life. Life is complicated. There are variables to life, and there are no easy... And you know what? The bigger the question, the bigger the issue, the more complicated the answer. And so there are no easy answers. That's one of the reasons why I get so frustrated by partisan political garbage and issues where, you know, it's this or it's this and either or stuff, man, because almost nothing in life is either or. Man, there's so many more both ands and so many more variables and complicated things. And every once in a while I'll get like a Facebook message or a text asking this big grandiose question. And I'm like, what the? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to answer this? You know, the question may be one sentence sent in a text, but the answer's a book, right? This big. And even that isn't going to have all the answers. So I'm just going to answer with a hang 10 emoji. And you're just going to have to suck on that because I'm not. Why did God let so-and-so die? Pizza emoji. So there's just no big answers. It's important, though, that we talk about it. Let's explore God's word and let's do that. Let me pray real quick. God, we love you so much. oh, Lord, I know, Lord, that there are some things we won't fully understand until we get to heaven. But on this earth, God, we can explore what your word says and even just kind of find some peace that, oh, over it all, you are our friend. And over it all, God, you love us. And Lord, I pray that you would just give us a revelation of your love and your friendship and who you are today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to start off. We're going to take a look at Psalms chapter 13. I love this psalm, even though many of you might read it and go, that psalm sucks. It doesn't. And we see King David here, and he's lamenting over unanswered prayers, right? And so the language he uses says to me that he must have been going through a really dark time when you read Psalm. And it's really, it's only six verses long, so we're going to read the whole chapter. But it says this, King David saying, O Lord, how long will you forget me? Remember, sometimes we just feel that way, right? In our prayers. How long will you forget me? And then he goes, forever? Right? God, how long are you going to forget me? Forever? Are you done with me? Right? He says, how long will you look the other way? Wow. How many times have we prayed things like that and we just felt like God was looking the other way? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul and with sorrow in my heart? Every day? I just love the realness of David. Just he's just real and he's laying it out. Because you know what? I've been in churches where this chapter in Psalms would have been considered lack of faith. You need to not talk like that. Right? And he says, every day, he says, how long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes or I will die. Wow. Oh, how many times have we felt like that? God, answer my prayer. I'm going to die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice in my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. I love this chapter for so many reasons. Number one, David is just super real. This is how I feel, God. And number two, he doesn't allow himself to stay there. Right? He says, God, I'm going to die. How long are you going to forget me? Where are you? Okay. Regardless of how I feel, I'm going to trust you. Right? Wow. He just takes the coin and flips it and says, okay, I trust in you. And you know what, God? My enemies are winning. I don't even know where you are. I can't see you. I feel like you're forgetting me. But I'm going to rejoice in you. But you are good to me. You are good to me. I remember a time when Wendy was in the hospital a few years ago. She got sick basically like overnight. We didn't know what it was. We went into the clinic, and she told the doctor at the clinic that it was the worst headache she ever had. And the doctor said immediately, are you sure it's the worst headache you've ever had? She said, yes, it's the worst headache I've ever had. She said, you don't even need to be here. Go right now. Go straight to the emergency room. Don't even stay here. Go straight to the emergency room. And in that 15-minute drive from the clinic to the emergency room, she went from bad to worse. And she had thrown up so much that there was nothing left to throw up. And I don't mean to be disgusting, but it was just, at this point, it was just bile. It was just green bile. And they got her in there, and they ran all sorts of tests, and they said, well, that could be West Nile. And it looks like maybe that. We're not quite sure, and still had gotten worse and worse, that the nurse came out and kind of gave me like the talk. All we can do is just keep her comfortable. And I just, man, I was just beside myself. I'm praying, I'm sending out, you know, texts, I'm calling people from the church to come and to pray. And I just didn't know, you know, what to do. And so they checked her in. They came back and they said, well, she has meningitis. And so we'll just put her on an IV. There's really not much that we can do. And so I remember just going into the bathroom to cry because I didn't want to cry in front of her. I cry in front of her now. Not going to happen. So I just remember going into the bathroom to cry. And this verse sort of like coming back to me. And in the middle of all this, literally feeling, I might lose my wife this week. And this coming back to me. And even though I didn't feel it using my mouth to say, but God, you are good. But God, you are good. But God, I will rejoice in you. And there's something, I don't even know what it is. There's something when we decide to use our mouth to speak faith in the midst of moments that just suck donkeys. And we just, sorry. There are kids here. But you know those moments, though. You know those moments where you just feel so betrayed and so let down and just so, God, I know that you can, but you're not for some reason, right? And you used your words to speak faith and speak life anyway, because the alternative is that you die too, right? I mean, the alternative is that you sink too and you don't come back. And so you just talk about this honest prayer. You know, King David's prayers, they were not producing the outcomes he hoped for. And that's where we get to, right? Where our prayers just are not, they don't seem to be producing the outcomes that we hope for. And we feel like God is looking away and God is ignoring our need. Can I just tell you, and I felt like when I was writing this, this was important that you knew this. And we have it up there. But your struggle with unanswered prayer does not make you a bad Christian. Okay? Your struggle with unanswered prayer does not make you a bad Christian. And those of us who grew up in an environment where it was, you felt like a bad Christian for struggling with these things. Hey, David did, right? What did God call David? Man after my own heart. Okay? So it's okay. It's okay to struggle with unanswered prayer. And I think we feel like getting angry or feeling abandoned or wondering if God cares, it makes us bad Christians, but it doesn't. It makes us real Christians. It makes us real people, okay? And God made you. It doesn't make you a bad Christian. And so David was still called a man after God's heart. And he had just accused God of forgetting him, right? This doesn't make you a bad Christian. It doesn't make you a bad person. We all feel that way. We all do. And we all feel that way sometimes, and some people feel that way all the time. And, you know, and that's okay. Sometimes we just need honest answers, right? And we have legitimate needs. And prayers for our children and our spouses and the unfair circumstances in our lives, sometimes we just really need a miracle, and it hurts when the one who can do something about it seems to be turning a deaf ear, right? Doesn't it? And then we tell ourselves, we try to soothe ourselves. Yeah, but he died for you. He's already done enough. Well, yeah, okay, but it still hurts. And the truth be told, sometimes we see other people's prayers answered, and we're still waiting, right? You ever been that where you needed healing and so you see somebody else get healed and you're like, what the heck, God? You know, what about me? And somebody else gets that provision, somebody else that gets that promotion, somebody else's business explodes, somebody else's, you know, has their marriage healed or their children come home or all those things, and it's not happening to us, and we just wonder, you know. And it's just normal. It's normal to wonder, and it doesn't make you bad for doing so. All right? So just kind of want to set you free of that this morning. It doesn't make you bad. The next thing it's so important to remember in our prayers is that there are variables at prayer at play in our prayers that we just can't see. Right? Because we tend to think that it's just God and it's just our prayers, and really that's all that matters, right? Don't we think that? Hey, there's just two things at play here, my prayers and God. And that's not the case. That's not life. We talked about that a little bit last week. Sometimes there's just persistence in prayer. Sometimes we just don't persist. You know, Jesus illustrates that when he says the kingdom of God is like a man knocking at his neighbor's door in the middle of the night. And the man's already gone to bed for the night. But the man knocks and knocks. And even when the man says, hey, I'm already in bed, leave me alone, the man keeps on knocking. And sometimes it's just persistence. Now, I've been praying for my dad to come to know Jesus for 35 years. Probably more than that. It hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. But I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to keep praying. I'm going to keep praying. And if I can pray for 30 plus years for something, so can you. Right? And so sometimes it's just persistence in prayer. Sometimes it's God's will. Sometimes it's just God's will. And sometimes God's will is not the same as our will. What? Sometimes God's will is just not the same as our will. And he sees things from a higher perspective, right? Just like as parents, we see things from a higher perspective than our children do. Sorry, kids. But we just see things from a higher perspective. We've just been around the block a few more times. We've just got some few more years of experience. We've got a little more wisdom because we're older than you, and we know better, okay? And so God is the same way. He sees things from a higher perspective. He's a little older than you. He's a little wiser than you. And he knows better, okay? And sometimes there's just that, his will. He just knows better. Sometimes there's just human free will that comes into play, okay? Some people are just going to choose to treat us unfairly. And as much as we pray that our boss would treat us more fairly, or our coworkers would be nicer to us, or our husband will treat us better, there's still free will. And that's there. And that may stink, but it's there. It's a variable at play in our prayers. Same thing when we pray for our loved ones to get their lives together, to get their stuff straight, right? And we pray for that, and we pray for that, and we should not stop praying for that. But those people still have free will. They're still going to choose whether or not to get high. They're still going to choose whether or not to quit another job. They're still going to choose whether or not to, you know, be kind to the people around them. They have free will. And keep praying, yes, keep persisting. But free will is still a factor, a variable in the answer to our prayers. So, you know, we've got persistence, we've got God's will, we've got free will. There's a whole lot of crap that happens in the world at the whim of human free will. In fact, a lot of it happens that way. There's also spiritual warfare. You know, when spiritual warfare that is taking place. When you read in Daniel chapter 10, what happens? An angel explains to Daniel that the answer to his prayer was delayed because demonic forces tried to stop him. And so we have to understand there's spiritual warfare at play in our prayers. And there's more to answered prayer than just simply making a request and God choosing to act or not. Okay? We have to understand that. It's so funny because I've done that before. I'm like, God, why won't you just act? Why won't you? There's more to it than that. We have to understand it's not that simple. You and your prayer and God are not the only two pieces of the puzzle. There's more at play. Okay? We have, the important thing though is that we understand that we have a friend in Jesus. We have a friend in Jesus. And so whether God is answering our prayers the way that we hope that they'd be answered, whether we're getting what we're asking for or not, it doesn't change the fact that we have a friend in Jesus. We have a friend in Jesus. And it's so important that we hold on to that, that we just grab hold of that and don't let go of that. We have a friend in Jesus. And this kind of leads right into this next point, but there is no magic prayer. There's no magic formula to show us how prayers get answered. There's not a magic formula. And how many times do we hear people kind of talk like there's a magic formula to getting your prayers answered? And, or they do all sorts of weird things. If somebody tells you that you just have to follow some, just go, hey, step one, step two, step three, and hey, I'm into steps. We have a Vineyard prayer model. When you go back for prayer, they are praying from a prayer model for you. And that's cool and that's awesome, right? But a prayer model is not a guarantee of getting the answer that you are looking for. And so there's no magic formula. I think I've shared this with you before, but, you know, praying with somebody, there was somebody that was needed healing or something or deliverance, and they were getting prayed for, and the lady was praying for them. The lady was very earnest, and she was really an on-fire believer, but she's praying for this girl to get healed, and I'm just kind of standing there, hand on her shoulder, agreeing with her, and the girl isn't getting healed. And then the lady who's doing the prayer stops her and goes, "Oh, wait a minute. Have you ever read the Harry Potter books? If you read the Harry Potter books, that might be why you're not getting healed. Wait a minute. Your grandmother owned a Ouija board? That's probably why you're not getting healed now." Right? And so we like to believe that, well, if on our part we have this duck in a row and this lined up and this all perfect and this all right, that's some sort of magic formula to receiving the answer that we're looking for in prayer. If somebody tells you that they have a formula, just tune them out. Just tune them out. Just do this number. Oh, that's great. You know, pizza emoji. You know, just tune them out, okay? We live in a spiritual war zone. We do. We live in a spiritual war zone. Everything is not as we see it. And everything isn't even as we imagine it to be. We live in the now and the not yet. We still live in the now and the not yet. Every once in a while, man, isn't that great when the not yet breaks through to the now? Isn't that awesome? I love it. I love it when the not yet breaks into the now. I absolutely love it. But we live in the now and the not yet. And sometimes the kingdom breaks through and sometimes it doesn't. The important thing that we understand that whether it breaks through or it doesn't break through, we don't give up. We don't become cynical. Man, cynicism is deadly to faith. Do not become cynical. David, if he would have ended Psalm 13 with the first part of it and not went on to those last couple verses, he probably would have become a very cynical person. Don't become cynical, okay? The fourth thing is this. We don't always know the impact that our prayers make. We tend to think of our prayers as submitting a request and either the request gets approved or not, right? Oh, God didn't approve that. Stamp, right? Or, no, God denied that. Stamp. And we tend to think in just really kind of shallow terms that way. God answered or didn't answer. And man, it can be just gut-wrenching when our prayers don't happen. When our child doesn't heal, when our spouse doesn't come back home, when the check doesn't clear. But listen, don't give up because we don't understand and we don't know the results of our prayers. We know this. In Romans 8, 28, it says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for good." Right? "For those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." We know that God is working everything out for good. God is working everything out for good. It's just that sometimes our definition of good is different from his definition of good because he sees things from a higher perspective, right? Yesterday, I had a particular son, I won't say which one, was really like, "Can I get a phone? Can I please get a phone? Can I get a phone? Can I get a phone?" And I was like, "Please stop talking to me about it because I'm trying to watch TV." But I know that if I gave my unnamed son a new phone tomorrow, it would not be for his good. It would not be what was best for him. Now, he doesn't know that. All he knows is that it would change his life. I don't believe it would be for the better. All right? And so his request may not have the answer or the outcome that he desires, but the outcome that he's receiving is for his good. Okay? So we've got to understand that. God is working everything for our good. And sometimes we just don't understand goodness. And so God is powerful and loving enough to use the most painful situation and somehow cause it to work for good in your life. Somehow. Even when we can't see it. I have been through a lot of crap in my life. A lot of crap. Some very difficult times. I've experienced rejection and abuse from my closest family members. I have been through the ringer. But I know that today, with 100% certainty, that I'm a better person for having gone through it. That I'm more compassionate. If you guys would have known me 20 years ago, y'all would have went and found another church by now. It's made me more compassionate. It's made me more persistent. It's strengthened my faith. And so that being said, I am much happier to be the person I am today than I would have been had I not gone through all the garbage. And so God is able to use those things that we perceive as unanswered prayers for our good. For our good. You ever known somebody who has basically kind of had gotten everything they've ever wanted in life, always? Kind of, you know, maybe they grew up in a lot of wealth and never really had to work for anything. You know, hadn't really experienced a lot of trauma. Isn't your patience for those type of people really low? And, you know, because they don't understand what it's like to experience long periods of pain. And it's our pain that just really makes us better people, that makes us softer people, more compassionate people, that makes us care for other people, because we can relate to their pain. And pain is crucial in shaping us and making us better people if we let it. And so C.S. Lewis once said, "I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time. Waking and sleeping, it doesn't change God, it changes me." It doesn't change God, it changes me. Persist in prayer because you don't know the impact that it's making. And so I know that I have many unanswered prayers in my lifetime, but I don't regret praying a single one of them. Not one. I've got tons of unanswered prayers, tons, loads of unanswered prayers. I don't regret praying a single one of them. I don't wish that I could take any of those prayers back. I don't wish that I wouldn't have persisted in them. And then lastly, it's important to understand this when it comes to unanswered prayer. In the end, love wins. In the end, love wins. King David said at the end of Psalm 13, "But I trust in your unfailing love," right? God, where are you? You're not answering my prayers. God, why am I suffering? God, why? It seems like you've forgotten me, but I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. Man, a lot of us stop at the first part of Psalm 13, don't we? God's rejected me, people have abused me, people have been nasty to me, and we become cynical and our hearts get hard. And it's so, so important that we remember those last two verses, that we push through to those last two verses, right? I will trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. God hadn't rescued David at that point. Did you all get that? God hadn't answered David's prayer by that point. He was still abandoned. His enemies were still winning. He says, I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. You know, God is going to heal every broken heart. God's going to heal every broken heart. He's going to make beauty out of our ashes, right? And so we are going to be made whole. We will be made whole, and he's going to give us a crown. And he's going to spend eternity with us. And this footnote on our lives that we call our time on earth is going to be so far forgotten. And we're going to be spending eternity with him. And that's why it's so important that we don't establish our eternal attitudes based on bad stuff that happens to us here. Again, let me just warn you against cynicism, because this is a pimple on the butt of your life. This little time that you spend right here on earth, there's going to be so much more, and it's going to be so, so awesome. Sorry, parents with children in here. God's going to heal the brokenhearted. He's going to spend eternity with us. He's going to take our crap and he's going to make it beautiful. He's going to take our crap and he's going to make it beautiful. Remember last week we talked about taking our crap and turning it into fertilizer, right? And all the things that weigh us down in this life, they're going to be nothing, nothing, nothing but a footnote in our eternal story. It's going to be awesome. And so what I want to do, I want to end this morning just kind of taking a cue from King David. And I want the worship team to come back. And I just want to end today by doing like David and just worshiping regardless of what we're going through, regardless of what unanswered prayers that we have, no matter how abandoned we feel by God, no matter how disappointed we feel, right? I want to worship through it. I want to do what King David did and say, I will trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. And so if you feel forgotten by God, if you feel like he has purposely neglected your prayers, that he has left you hanging, I just want you to stand and worship. I just want you to stand and worship. And give him praise. And praise him in the hard time. The good, the bad, the ugly. And say, God, I choose to trust you. I choose to trust you. God, we love you so much this morning. God, we rejoice in you. Well, we don't know why our friends die on the operating table. We don't know why you didn't answer that prayer. We don't know why you didn't heal our marriage. We don't know why you haven't healed our bodies. We don't know why you haven't made provision for us yet. We don't know why, but God, we will rejoice in you. You are God, our Savior, and we rejoice in you, and we trust in your unfailing love, and we trust that you will and can work everything for good. Work everything for good. Because you define good and you are goodness. We praise you. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's stand and worship.